It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. This is Chaim Bravender, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. We're going to learn a little bit about the Parsha of Ki Tisa. I'm not going to learn the part of the Parsha that most people think about, but we're going to learn about Bezalel. Bezalel was appointed by God to build the Mishkan. And this is presented in the parasha of Ki Tisa in the following way. I hope you're looking at the text. I lost. You see, Ezra, when you do it, I lose the pointers.
Okay, you'll see it now.
This is the last correction. I mean, you know, technology is not simple. Certainly not for me. Am I going to see it?
Yeah, okay. It's on the left-hand side.
Well, I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. So the psukim in the parasha of Ki Tisa that refer to the appointing of Bezalel to do a kind of a pretty regular kind of job, right? A pretty regular kind of job. His job is to build something. I mean, there are a lot of people who build things, and some of them do it very well, but the Pesukim that we're referring to, by the Be'er Hashem and Moshe Le'moris Pesuk Aleph. So the communication from God goes to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Re'ei. God says, look carefully. I mean, these kinds of words, which are not really necessary. I mean, why does God have to say Re'ei? Behold, take note of. Anything God says is worthy of beholding, of taking note of. Karati b'shem, I call out the name. What do you mean the name? Why do I have to know the name? You see, when they built buildings in Yerushalayim, they put up the names of everybody who had anything to do with planning and executing, and those names are never remembered. Who knows who built the buildings here and there? They're just temporary signs that come down. Re'ei karati b'shem Bezalel. And to heighten his importance, then Uri ben Hur Matei Yehuda. I'm not talking about the fact that he was the grandson of Hur. That might be like good for Yichus, like good for the Shidduch. But when you say Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, you go back three generations. That's important. Not everybody gets that kind of listening, L'matei Yehuda, and he's a really an important person. He's very important. Moshe is just Moshe. And Bezalel is Ben Uri Ben Chul L'matei Yehuda. Pasuk Gimel, V'amalei oto ruach Elokim b'chafma v'tvuna v'da'at v'kol m'lacha. Wow! V'amalei oto, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will fill him up. I mean, you could say whatever you want, but this is certainly a compliment. It's certainly something special. Right? Something special. V'amalei oto, I will fill him. I'll fill him more than anybody else. Ruach Elohim. Ruach. The Spirit of God. Wow. It sounds even better than prophecy. And then he'll have also chokhma and tevuna and vidat, and these are words that could be seen as synonyms and could be extraordinary things. Uvidat, uvichol melacha. So it sounds like the melacha that Bezalel is known for, is good at, is able to kind of apply to the building of the Mishkan, that also comes from God. So then I it starts thinking, you start thinking, well, why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu do that? If it's not a talent that Bezalel had that was developed over time, I mean, it says b'kol malacha, something new, a startling kind of result of human enterprise. I mean, this Bezalel sounds like a really great guy. Re'eh. Karati b'shem, I'm singling him out, I'm giving him a name, I'm telling you who he is. He's not a regular person. So how did he get to be that way? We understand about Moshe Rabbeinu, how he got to be that way. He suffered as a leader. He executed things that no one else could possibly have done. He achieved some sort of atonement for Bnei Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, after the golden calf was built. All of these things were done by Moshe Rabbeinu, and here he not giving the opportunity to build the Mishkan. I mean, he could be like anybody, any Kablan. Kablan, you say, Moshe built the building. Did he build the building? Does he know how to put Palato down on the floor, on the floor in the apartment? He doesn't know any of those things. He knows how to hire somebody to do this or to hire somebody to do that. And that's perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. And furthermore, Pasuk Dalet says, Lachashov Machashavot. He's able to think things through, to be able to figure out how to do it. Bezahav kesem v'nechoshet. Gold and silver. There's a lot of gold and silver in the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna. Look at the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Karati b'shem, I called out the name of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, lasot melachti, God says. I want him to do my work. Who is that? Bezalel. Then Rashi goes on to explain these words. Chochmah. What is Chochmah? Chokhmah is what you learn, regular kind of learning. You hear somebody teaching something or speaking about something, and you learn it. Tvunah, mevin davar belibo, mitoch dvarim shelamad, like he has things that he figured out on his own. He learned certain things, and he figured out other things. Vedat, ruach hakodesh, that is ruach hakodesh. And this is what Bezalel is walking around the edge of HaKodesh, and he's a prophet. Pasuk Dalet, Machashov Machshavot, Arigat Maaseh Choshev. He says it doesn't, not a special kind of ability to think, but it's knowledge about how to make woven objects. Let's go back to the psukim, pasuk hey. Becharoshet even, right? How to work with precious stones? Lemalot to charoshet eitz. How to put them into a setting, a wooden setting, a metal setting. Right to Asu, call Asher Tziviticha. Call Asher Tziviticha. Pasuk Zion, for example, Zion. Et Ohel Moed ve'et Aaron la'idut, the Ohel Moed where the Aaron Kodesh was kept. And the Aaron la'idut, the Aaron which will be the place of Eidut, of witnessing the will remind us of the great things that happened in history of Issachar, Asher Alav et Kol Kleiha Ohel Kaporet on the Aron Kodesh. I mean, everything. I mean, what's the Aron? The Aron is the place where you put the Sefer Torah, where you put the Luchot that were broken, the Luchot that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. It became the model of Torah. That's the Torah that was received at Har Sinai and written in Har Sinai. Wouldn't you think that Moshe Rabbeinu would be the one who built that Aron? No, no. That's also going to be, it's going to be okay, Avraham Grossbaum wants to annotate. Fine. Who should annotate? I could annotate? Oh. Okay, so in other words, you have this problem, I think. You have this problem. So who is Bezalel? And why do we need him? Couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu, who heard the Torah of the Parshiyot of Truma and Tetzaveh, and we usually say that Truma and Tetzaveh was Moshe Rabbeinu learning the Torah of the Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He learned it from directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he learned it from directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why wasn't he given the honor of building the Mishkan? He could have hired Bezalel and Aliyav if they were really the most appropriate ones for a certain kind of labor. Here, Rashi and Pasuk Zion. Rashi and Pasuk Zion. 1 second. Right? At Aron Ha'edut, Letzorech Luchot Ha'edut. If it's Letzorech, who brought the Luchot Ha'edut? Who deserved to? And I would say also that Moshe Rabbeinu already built it Aron before he went up the second time on the mountain. The end of Parshat Ki Tisa, you look into it. Moshe Rabbeinu built an Aron. He knew that he would come down from the mountain with Aron. With luchot, with tablets. And he'd have to put these tablets someplace. Of course, the Mishkan was not yet built. So he prepared an Aron. He was able to prepare that Aron. Why couldn't he prepare the Aron for the Mishkan? There's something here that strikes me as so odd. Okay, so all of this was done by Bezalel. Big Day HaKohen, Big Day HaSrad, Big Day HaKodesh, everything was done by Bezalel. One second. Ezra, I can't turn the page either because I can't.
You click on the arrow, the down arrow, where it says like next to 2.5.
Put the arrow where?
There's a down arrow next to the 2. On page 2. There's 2/5.
I can't get it. Where on page 2? I don't have an arrow. I have a. I have something else. But I can't move it. Oh, 1 second. What's this? What's that? Nothing. Nothing.
Rabbi Bravender, do you see above your name on the screen, it says Harav Chaim Bravender?
Yeah.
You see it on the page?
Yes.
Above that and to the left, you see where it says 2/5?
Right.
Next to the 2, you see a down arrow?
No.
Yes, right to the left of the number 2. Right there, right? You're almost there. Click there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Click.
Okay, great. Oh. Great. Okay. I'm sorry. I click again, I think. All right, these psukim are from the parasha of Vayakhel, and they repeat the same idea, except that it may be that Eliyahu is kind of placed in a better position. V'asa b'tzalel v'Eliyahu v'chol ish chacham leiv, asher natan Hashem chokma u'tvuna v'eima l'adat l'asot kol v'lechad avodat ha'kodesh. Again, it's not Bezalel and Eliyahu who knew how to do the things they had to do in the Beit HaMikdash. We call Ish Chacham Lev Asher Natan Hashem Chochma Utvuna Baheima Ladat Lasod Kol Melechet Avodat HaKodesh L'chol Asher Tziva Hashem. You know, the emphasis in the Pasuk, the simple emphasis in the Pasuk is that God told Bezalel what to do. It's because God told him what to do that he was able to do it. Vayikra Moshe el Bezalel ve'el Eliyahu kol ish chacham lev asher natan Hashem chokma belibo kol asher nisa'o libo lekarva el hamlacha lasot ota. And so the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu called out to Bezalel and Eliyahu and all the others who knew how to do something. Asher Natan Hashem Chokhma. Now you could say that Asher Natan Hashem Chokhma is like a stylistic. It was if somebody does something good, and if somebody that good thing is even the Mishkan, the kind of the temple of that of the time in the desert. That's the Mishkan. So that's called Chachma, Hashem Chachma Belibo. That's what it's called. But maybe not. Maybe it means that God actually gave them the real support they needed in order to make something so special. Pasuk Gimel. Vayichum lifnei Moshe et kol ha-trumot asher hevi'u b'nei Yisrael le'melechet avodat ha-kodesh lasot otam. V'hem hevi'u elav od nedavah b'boker b'boker. So again, vayichum lifnei Moshe. Moshe, he was sort of like the controller, the state controller, the money that came in that they were collecting or to build the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of that. But he was not in charge of building the Mishkan. He was not at all. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. And there's several other things that happened in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu being Moshe Rabbeinu was the controller. He was in charge of the finances. Bezalel was in charge of building the Mishkan. Two other psukim, also in Vayakhel, in next week's parsha, not this week Kitiso, but next week's parsha, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur again. This is called a special mention. L'matei Yehuda asad kol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Oh, he did it all. In other words, somehow Moshe Rabbeinu retained the information about the Mishkan, but he was not able to effectively build the Mishkan. That was given over to Bezalel, and then to Bezalel and Eliyahu. V'ito, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Kav Gimel, Ito Eliyahu ben Achisamach l'matei Dan. He was with him. He gets parallel billing. L'matei Dan. Charash v'choshei v'rokeim b'tchelet v'agaman b'tolat shani. He knew how to do all of these things. How to work with linens and cloths and weaving and all of that kind of stuff. We needed him. We needed him. So the point that I'm making again and again is that Moshe Rabbeinu apparently couldn't do any of that. Couldn't do it. I want to learn the Medrash. Okay, 1 second. Medrash, where's the Medrash?
It's on page 5.
I got it. Here we are, Bamidbar Rabbah, the Medrash, Parshat Balotcha, Parshat Tetvav, numbered Yud. You see this? Like, let's do it together. Let's do it together. Rabbi Levi bar Rabbi Omer. Menorah. He's supposed to tell us something about the menorah. About the menorah that was built for the Mishkan. Menorah tehorah yarda min hashamayim. I don't know what a tehorah menorah is, right? It was not in any way defiled. Well, of course, it came down from heaven. Came down from heaven. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu standing there. Shamalo Kodesh Baruch Hu le Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash. Vasita menorat zahav tahor. Make a menorah. Make it out of gold. Make sure that the gold is somehow tahor, which might mean pure of other kinds of elements, other kinds of metals. V'shachach ma'aseha. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, Amar lo, keitzad na'ase ota. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, how are we supposed to make this menorah? Like, he just couldn't figure it out. Amar lo, miksha te'aseh, ha-menorah. Make it out of, like, one solid piece. One solid piece, v'afo pikein nitkashe Moshe. Afo pikein means even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him what it looks like exactly, he still couldn't figure out how to do it. Afo pikein nitkashe Moshe. V'yarad v'shachach ma'aseha. V'yarad, he came down from Har Sinai, and he forgot how to do it. Alav ve'amar, Riboni, Moshe Rabbeinu went up again, and he said to God, Ketzad na'aseh ota. How are we going to make? How do we make it? How do we make this menorah? Now, the menorah is part of Ketzad na'aseh ota. It's part of the Mishkan. Amar lo, Miksha ta'itateyase ha-menorah. Make it out of one piece. Rafa pichei nitkashe Moshe v'yarad v'shachach. He found it difficult. He went down from the mountain and he forgot how to make the menorah. Allah v'amar riboni shachachti ota. I forgot how to do it. Her'alo le'Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe what the menorah is supposed to look like. What the menorah is supposed to look like. Ve'od nitkasheba. Furthermore, he still found it difficult. Amar lo, re'ei va'asei. Re'ei v'amar lo u're'ei va'asei. Take a look and then do what you see. Achinatal menorah shel eish, until in heaven they took a fiery menorah. Her Allah asiyata, the Her Allah asiyata. Why that helps that it's made out of fire, I don't know. But again, it was like to shock Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't forget that this is how you make the menorah. Va'afal pike nitkashe al Moshe. In spite of all of that, Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult, Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lech Eichel Betzalel. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash. He's failing the test. What's the test? To remember what the menorah looks like. He couldn't remember what the menorah looks like. And why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a menorah shel Eish? What does that mean? I just showed him a regular menorah again and again. Sooner or later, he'll remember it. Ava bichenit kashe al Moshe. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechetzel Bezalel. Go over to Bezalel. V'hu yaseh ota. Hu yaseh ota. V'amar lo Bezalel. He went and he said to Bezalel, look, I need somebody who's going to make a menorah. Miyad asa'ah. So Bezalel made it in a second. He understood it right away. Yitchil tamar v'amar. Yitchil tamar v'amar. He was amazed. And he said, Ani kama pa'amim hara li HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nitkasheti la'sota. V'at shelo ra'ita asita midatcha. He says, after all, God showed me the menorah several times and I wasn't able to do it. I'm not able to do it, but you just looked or you thought about it, midatcha. Nitkasheti la'sota v'at shelo ra'ita asita midatcha. You see those words? Asita midatcha. You know, the da'at that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Bezalel was used in order to build the menorah, which would prove itself to be too difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu. Bezalel, Bezel Kel Hayita. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, why are you called Bezalel? Because you are in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you're very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bezel El Hayita Omeid. Kishehar Ali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asiyata. Kishehar Ali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asiyata. God showed me how to make it to Lefikach. Kishecharei Beit HaMikdash, there's an add-on. Negneza HaMenorah, the menorah was hidden away. I guess it means because it was not such an easy thing to make. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make it. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make it. Bezalel had to make it from his da'at, from his understanding, his knowledge, his insight. So they took the menorah and they hid it away. Shechori Beit HaMikdash Nignizah HaMenorah. V'zeh Echad Michamishah Dvarim Shenignizu. This is a different topic, but we'll just finish reading the section. Right? Chamishah Dvarim Shenignaz Aaron V'Abnorah V'Aish V'Ruach HaKodesh V'Akruvim. These are the five things that Nignizu, which we got to talk about on another occasion. וכשישוב הקדוש ברוך הוא ברחמיו ויבנה ביתו והיכלו הוא מחזירן למקומו. So we just think about the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't build a menorah for some reason, because if he would have built a menorah, something bad would have happened. The bad thing that would happen would be that the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu would build would not be available for the next Beit HaMikdash that will be built, right? So he says, "V'yivne beito v'heichalo," and God rebuilds the Beit HaMikdash. Who machziran these five things? Amongst them, the menorah, limkoman, v'samech et Yerushalayim shenemar. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Yisesum medbar v'tziyah v'tagel arava." Everybody's going to be happy. Baroach tivrach v'tagel. It says in the pasuk. So we get a kind of a different slant on things from reading this medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. And so Bezalel was chosen. But that doesn't help us to understand. If Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it, how did Bezalel do it? I mean, what zchuyot, what was it that Bezalel had that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have? I mean, I understand Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make the menorah. I understand. But Bezalel, how did he know how to make the menorah? God showed Moshe Rabbeinu several times what the menorah would look like, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't cop it. I find that a little amazing. But beyond that, in the story that we just read from the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you don't get it? Here's a fiery menorah, right? A menorah of fire. So a menorah of fire, he is going to understand how to build it. I mean, after all, fire, you don't see the hard edges. You don't see one part starts and the other part ends. I mean, it's the fire. Not that we know exactly what it looked like, but the idea that the fiery menorah might be clarified doesn't quite make it for me. Don't understand. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought if he showed him a menorah out of fire, that he would then, yes, understand. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu had some kind of a problem. Why would that problem be alleviated by a fiery menorah? So let's look. Let's look at the 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later. The Hamek Davar. Here it is. You see Hamek Davar Shvot Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Bet. Re'ei Karati V'Shem. The Hamek Davar. The Netziv. The Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. The last Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. He gave a shiur in Chumash every morning in the yeshiva, and that shiur in Chumash turned into his, you know, extensive commentary on the Chumash called Ha'amek Davar, look into the matter. He believed in looking into the matter. Always interesting and incisive. Very good connection to Pshat. But the words mean something to him. And look at how he starts. He said, V'yab pshat mashma'ut re'ei. So he says, what's the word re'ei? Remember we said that at the beginning? What's the word re'ei doing there? What does God say to Moshe? Take a look, or take note, or be aware. And what is all of that? It's like Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu received the whole Torah. It doesn't say re'ei every time God tells him to teach a mitzvah. Re'ei v'yapshat mashmaut re'ei hitbonein ala tova she'ani oseh bazeh. You should think about hitbonein ala tova on the goodness she'ani oseh bazeh, which I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am doing now, she'lo te'ei tzarich lechapes achrei harbei omanim. You won't have to look. You won't have to be the Benayi Lavoda. You won't have to find artisans that can do this kind of work and that kind of work. Mikol Amlacha, Mishunim, Zemizeh. You know, all kinds of different skills. One person knows how to put in a balata. Another person knows how to put in an electric wire. And a third person knows how to do other kinds of things, to paint. Every person that you bring to work on a project has to be sought out and found, and they have to make a deal with him. Vata, hine karati b'shem uman echad. I called out the name of one artisan, shebo yichlol hakol. He can do everything. V'hu yashkiach al kol minei uman nuyot. And he will watch over all of the various artisans that you have to bring to this point. Well, that's interesting. It sounds like from the Hamek Davar, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is really in charge. Moshe Amar Li Yisrael Re'u. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said to everybody, look at this, look what's happening, right? Over Bechilta is the Medrash Halacha and Shmot. Parshat Bishalach, ala pasuk re'uki Hashem natan lachem HaShabbat. Take a look, be careful. God gave you the Shabbat. So re'u there means hizaharu, be careful. But Shabbat. V'nir'ed zeu kavanat re'u kan. And here the word re'u means the same thing. Re'u karati b'shem. Titboninu al ma'aseh ha-mishkan. Take a good look at how much effort has to be made in the Mishkan. She'no kimo Paltin Shel Melech. It's not like a regular kind of an armon. Parton Shel Melech. Shehu Chol. After all, that building, that castle that you're building for the king, is Chol. It's not sacred. It's irregular. It's a regular place. Shehu Chol. Umisha rotze la'asot oto al yedei echsher yedia bimlacha kodem shabba la'asot. Whoever wants to improve or make sure that the job is going to be done properly, harehu oseh, so he can do it. Ava lokein ha-mishkan. But you can't say that about the mishkan. Shehu kodesh v'yesh bo davar segula. The mishkan is kodesh. And it's you can't just take anybody to do the job. Uchimo haTorah shelo nitna el al yidei Moshe. It's like Torah that could only be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, he's trying to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to pick Bezalel. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu pick? Just ask around. Ask your friends, Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask the tax collector. Ask the barber. Who's good at this and who's good at that? He says, no, that's what you would do if it was a binyan shel chol, if it was a regular building, something that you built for the king. But this is not that kind of building. Avalokein ha-mishkan, right? Five lines from the bottom. Avalokein ha-mishkan, shehu kodesh, v'yesh bo divrei segula. It's very special. So only special people can do it. The Torah could only be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukehuna yidei Aaron. Kacha mishkan lo haya efshar le'asot al yidei shum baal melacha hayoter gadol ba'olam el al yidei Bezalel. Bezalel is the only one who could do it, and that's why God had to point him out. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he, on the level of making things, he had to defer to Bezalel. Velo mishum shayat chila uman gadol, not because he was always this great artisan. Ela shakadosh baruch hu maleh oto ata yidiah anitzrechet lazeh. But now it happened that Bezalel was created. He was not Bezalel before. He just now became Bezalel. This is the kunst of the Hamek Dover. El al yedei Bezalel v'lo mishum sheyat chila oman gadol. He wasn't a great artisan. He Bezalel. Ela shakadosh baruch hu milei oto ata yediyah nitzrechet lazeh. He became he Moshe Rabbeinu. When Bezalel, I'm sorry, he was filled with the knowledge that was necessary in order to build the Mishkan. Umizera ui litbonen gedulatu kudushat habinyan. Im kain, ra'ui lizaher bo. V'zeu kavanat re'u shama Moshe Yisrael alad beparashat vayakel. So what does re'u mean? It's something new. Take a look. There's a new invention in the world. That invention's name is Bezalel. Yesterday, Bezalel was an artisan. He was the kind of person who could build a building. He was a carpenter. He was an electrician. He was a painter. He was all of those things. But he wasn't yet really worthy of building the Mishkan. To build the Mishkan, you need somebody designated by God. God had to designate the person who built the Mishkan. But, you know, I say to the Netziv, I mean, I'm thankful for the distinction that the Netziv makes of this idea that he created. He actually created this idea. He said it's not that Bezalel was worthy, it's that Bezalel was created. was creative, not the body of Batala, not even the old knowledge of Batala, but the new information and the new understanding that was necessary in order for Batala to build the Mishkan, to actually build the Mishkan, that was created right there. Re'ei karasi b'shem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see Pasuk Bet, Re'ei karati b'shem. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have created this person, and therefore I call him Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lematei Yehuda, because he's a new person. He's something new. So I still don't understand. Why couldn't all of this be incorporated into Moshe Rabbeinu? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu get this extra kind of insight, understanding? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out how to build the menorah, according to the Medrash? How is it that Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the menorah of fire and nothing? It didn't click in with him. Didn't click in with him. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, we're going to create the person who can do it, who can build the Mishkan. His name is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. And that person is going to be able to do what Moshe Rabbeinu can't do. What Moshe Rabbeinu can't do. So I noted the pre-tzaddik in the beginning of Bamidbar, the pre-tzaddik, as you know, was a Hasidic Rebbe from a certain kind of chain of Rebbeim, and he was very prolific. I've often said that the pre-tzaddik, our mazel was that the pre-tzaddik in Lublin did not have many Hasidim. But it's enabled him and gave him the time to write copiously on all sorts of topics, all sorts of things. And his writings were noticed by other greats. In fact, they say that the people who say things like that said that Rav Kook was tremendously influenced by the pre-tzaddik. So the pre-tzaddik has something to say about all of this as well. The pre-tzaddik says, I didn't put it on the sheet, but I'll just read it to you. I'll read it to you. Zayin yan shemoshe Rabbeinu lefi madregato shatorah shebal peh shelo shechidesh mipilpulo. He says, you know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Torah scholar of all time. And all the insights that have come up over the generations from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till our time, actually today, 3,000 years, more than 3,000 years, 3,500 years. Gam came before Rashi Negedei Nav, Shehu Mi Sinai, everything, Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything, and therefore everything came from Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a special person. And as the pre-tzaddik explains, he wasn't just more of the same. He was the creator of the Torah Shebaal Peh, all the generations. Shechidesh mipilpulo ayakan meforash l'nek enashu b'sinai. He understood that everything that he thought about that was connected to Torah was part of what God gave us at Sinai. Lo utzrach mishkan v'otzar La'amid ha'aron. He didn't need a Mishkan. He didn't need an Aron. I mean, you have to remember that in the desert, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Aron, was where Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah that he gave over to the people. A Torah that he knew already, but he received also the spacing of the words on the parchment. I mean, it was the way the Torah looks to us. But he already knew that Torah. Sha'aron, shu b'chinat Torah shebal peh, Aya gam kein etzlo kimo Torah shebichtav. That for Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no difference between Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh. He didn't need it written down. He didn't need it. When he came down from the mountain the second time, he held in his hands the luchot, the tablets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had fashioned for him. I mean, he built them. He made the tablets for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fashioned them. But where was the Torah Sheva'al Peh? It was all in his head. He had it all for him, for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Sheva'al Peh was like Torah Shebichtav. We understand that Torah Sheva'al Peh is very often something we have to figure out. We have to try to understand it. That's what the Gemara, what the Gemara shows us and leads us in that direction, Torah Sheva'al Peh. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no distinction between the Aron and the Mishkan. Masha Einokein Bitzalel. Bitzalel was different than Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaya Mishorish Torah Sheva'al Peh, Moshe Bitzalel was Mr. Torah Sheva'al Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Torah was the same. It was like all Torah Shebichtav. It was etched into his mind like the Ten Commandments were etched into the tablets. Mechadshim midatam kanal. So that as far as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, emphasizing that Torah Sheva'al Peh was something that you had to figure out, something that you had to ask permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that had to be clarified. All of that was not possible for Moshe Rabbeinu. For him, it was all etched in stone. It was absolutely, absolutely correct. So if the Mishkan was the seat of the Torah, it's somehow the Torah Shebichtav and the explanation of Torah Sheva'al Peh, that distinction maintained, is what the Mishkan also represented. The Mishkan represented that there was a place where there was Torah Shebichtav, and then there was the received Torah, which included the Torah Sheva'al Peh that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the people. But he, Moshe Rabbeinu, did not need that distinction between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheva'al Peh in some way. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what the Torah Shebichtav meant, and that's Torah Sheva'al Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu knew all of that. So he was a unique kind of a personality. He was a unique personality, and the only thing that he could build would be what he was. The only thing he could build was the place that he knew about. And the place that he knew about was Har Sinai, and for him, Har Sinai is the no distinction between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheva'al Peh. And therefore, in this odd way, Moshe Rabbeinu was not worthy because he was too far advanced, so to speak. He was way out of the weight class for building a little building that would be the seat of Torah Sheva'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav. For Moshe Rabbeinu, that distinction did not exist, and therefore, he wasn't worthy. So though they are sort of contemporaries, the Netziv and the Pre-Tzaddik, of course, the Netziv, Rosh Yeshiva, and the leading yeshiva of his day, and the Pre-Tzaddik, a scion of Hasidic thinking, very serious Hasidic thinker. So for the Nitziv, the appointment of Bezalel was like the creation of Bezalel, because the building that Bezalel went to build had never been built before. The Nitziv does not answer the question of why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Although, you're all invited to give it a try. The Preet Tzaddik says that Moshe Rabbeinu was in a different world. He was in a world where all of the Torah was clear, where the Torah Sheva'al Peh, the Torah Sheva'al was as clear as the Torah Shebichtav. And since the Mishkan was dedicated to the clarification of Torah Shebichtav, Al Yedei Torah Sheva'al Peh, since that clarification was necessary, it does not behoove Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan, because the Mishkan represents a world that he is gone from. He's left it. He's left that world. And so we have to get somebody else. And at this point, we can put the interpretation of the Nesiv together with the interpretation of the Preet Tzaddik, although I'm not sure that either of them would like that. But you could do it. The Nesiv said, even the building of the Mishkan, which could not be done by Moshe Rabbeinu for the reasons that the Preet Tzaddik said, but the building of the Mishkan itself was an undertaking that no one was really able to do unless he would be created specifically for that purpose. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did according to the Nesiv in his comment. Okay, have a good Shabbos. All the best. Be well.
Robert, do you want me to end the meeting?